Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now. We are a proud member of the Geek Collective, an Age of Radio network. Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast. All right, in this episode, it's going to be amazing because I have my good friend, Adam Barnhart. How's it going, man?
It's going A-okay. It's hard to match your energy at the moment. But yeah, it's good, man. How are you?
I have to be like extra, dude, because if
you,
I don't...
You're bringing the energy, and I'm just like...
Well, you told me that you're like working off of 2 hours of sleep, so I'm like, I'm definitely going to wake you up, man.
Yeah, man. What with everything that's going on, plus it's... I don't get that much sleep the way it is because I don't know. I just never have, but Doom watching the news, plus I've got some projects in the works too that I'm trying to crank out and start the year off as productive as I can be. And that just kind of ground to the halt the past couple of days, and it's impossible to get anything done. But I'm trying to get these pages written, and that's all I had.
At least you've got a good start to the year, man, because that's all you can say, right, about that. So let's tell a little bit about everybody about yourself here. You are the famous Adam Barnhart, the creator behind...
Not yet.
It is absolutely true because you created one of my favorite books from Scout Comics, which is The Shite Show. I don't know if I want to say it, but whatever, shit show. Fantastic book, number one. It's been out for quite some time now. Last time I talked to you was on my other show where the book hadn't come out yet. We got to read a preview copy of this one. And now that it's out, man, how are you feeling?
Good. I just totally realized I've talked to you on three different shows now.
Yep, that's why.
Jeez, man. How many shows you got? How many podcasts you got?
Dude, I've got way too many. I've got way too many.
Scout Geeks. I'm like, wait, then you have one with Silver, but Brian too.
So, yeah, I've got way too many. So the one with Brian is a part of this show. So it's just kind of like a little mini spinoff of this show. And then we do two Scout Geeks, and then I also have a few other ones that I don't really mention because they're on hiatus. But because my other partner on another show, he's doing a handful of other things, but we're talking about you, man.
Right.
So how do you feel now that this book is out there and in your people's hands?
It's a relief, man. Part of me is relieved, and it's because, I mean, it takes forever to make a damn comic book, you know, just one issue. It takes so damn long.
Right.
But we got it done, and it hit shelves, and the work goes on. I'm pretty impressed with the response so far. As far as I know, I mean, it wasn't like an instant sellout or anything like that. So that's kind of a little disappointing. They talked a little bit about the pre-orders numbers and stuff like that, and that just blew all my expectations the way it was. So I mean, I'm writing the story to tell the story, and I don't want to get into the business aspect of it too much, because I fully intend to set out and tell whatever I want to tell, unless it just becomes a disaster and they somehow pull the cancel. I'm not sure if creator-owned books can get canceled. I don't know. I suppose we'll see. It's been great, man. It's
at least you could take it somewhere else. You know what I mean? You can take it all on your own. I mean, whatever.
It's whatever. You know, I certainly have plans, and if people buy, I mean, like I said, I'm impressed with everything that's going on. It's just such a damn relief having it come out. It's weird. People text me pictures of the book on eBay, and it's weird to have something you made not only getting purchased, but then subsequently resold.
Yeah.
On the second market, I saw someone has our Christmas variant up, or the mm-hmm. Christmas flip book up.
Yeah.
Someone already sold something with my autograph on it, which is just insane.
That's got to be weird.
First off, yeah. It's still weird having people ask to sign their stuff. I had someone this afternoon ask if they can send me several books to sign. I'm like,
nice.
I mean, if you want. It's just that I haven't gotten into the creator mindset, you know.
Yeah.
It's major imposter syndrome still, man.
I feel you. I understand that a little bit. Like, so
it's imposter syndrome. I'm not sure if I'll ever get over that, you know. I mean, the book's out there and in the wild, and it's like, man, did I actually really create a comic book or not? You know?
So have you found your book out in the wild yet on your own?
I have not, man. I live nowhere. I live in the absolute middle of nowhere. The closest store is in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and I've been there. I saw it there because they informed me they ordered it and they wanted me to come in and sign their copies.
Nice.
So I did that much. But me personally, I haven't seen it. That's the only store I've been in. I'm totally trying to still avoid public and people and all those things at the moment. I was like that pre-pandemic, so I'm certainly not going to go buck wild, you know, in a pandemic.
Yeah.
But I've had dozens and dozens of people text me stuff and at me on Twitter and things like that. People, it's just weird, you know, having coworkers or having friends or having family members tag you in something on Facebook, say, hey, look what I found at the store. And I'm like, that's pretty badass. But no, me personally, I have not gone into like a random store and seen it on the shelf. Hopefully someday, soon, maybe, I don't know. It's so much easier when you're in rural Iowa to get stuff online, I guess.
That's awesome, man. So before we go on a little bit more, tell everybody just a quick little log line of Shit Show for them real quick.
Shit Show is a story about drunk carnies with superpowers. It's Richard McCoy, who is the superhero, the star, the Captain America, the Superman, the head honcho, and he's fallen on hard times because of reasons. And this story features kind of his fall from grace and what he does now. He runs the circus, or more accurately, he kind of lends his name to the circus while his kids run the circus. That's Shit Show, man. It's a mess, and it's the take on the Superman twist take. That's kind of the story I wanted to set out to do. And I think we accomplished a legitimately fresh take on that hasn't been done before. And it's been a blast to write. It's been a blast to develop these characters. Nothing beats being able to get excited about something and work on it.
You know, like
you mentioned the school stuff and stuff. Nothing beats, you know, whether it's creativity, you know, creatively or something else, you know, if you like something, if you have a passion for something and you dive in and just work on it, you know, if you're doing hobbies or crafts, or if you're sewing, or if you're drawing, or if you're collecting comics, or if you're collecting sports cards, or if you're collecting weird stuff you buy on eBay or people's hair or whatever, you know, if you're like super passionate about it, nothing beats it. Send me $2 and I'll send you a lock of my hair. I'm not kink shaming, you know, I'm not going to kink shame anyone.
But don't say that, dude, not to this group of listeners. They will probably do it.
But no, it's nothing beats. If you love something, nothing beats just diving in. And, and 2020 has certainly been a year where escapism is probably beneficial for most people. You know, I mean, who doesn't want to separate themselves from reality a bit? I'm not sure if that's right or wrong or or whatnot, but that's why we consume entertainment, right? That's why we watch movies. That's why we watch TV shows. I mean, we want to see Baby Yoda and the Mando and Boba Fett blast bad guys away. Because
and that is like almost a perfect segue, because not only are you a comic book creator, you also have a job where you talk about all these, this really cool pop culture. you obviously, I don't know if you are able to tell anybody where you work, but let us know what you do, man.
I write for comicbook.com and whatever is associated with that. You know, it's movies and TVs and comics and Mountain Dew and chicken nuggets and all sorts of stuff we get into as of late. You know, it's
the McRib.
McRib, yeah, the McRib is big news. I tell you what, McRib and Krispy Kreme, that's the big news. What else? Mountain Dew just released their first permanent flavor.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's yeah, or not the first permanent flavor, but their first permanent flavor in 10 years.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's the day job, and that's exciting. Yeah, I mean, I have zero complaints. You know,
that's gotta be a fun job, dude. Just be sitting there talking about pop culture all day long. That's why I do these podcasts, man, because I want this to be my job. You know, so
that's the thing. It started off as a hobby. I started off as a volunteer on a website. Just because I like the MCU, you know, I was loving watching these movies, and I'm like, man, it'd be cool to kind of get into the nitty gritty and behind the scenes and the news and see how they're made and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I started just writing for free on an MCU based website, and it just went from there. I started with another website that was freelance that they actually paid for the articles, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. I want to chase this high. Yeah. So I was chasing it. And I applied for a gig and worked there a couple of years part-time. And then full-time gig came up, and that's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah, dude. That sounds like the freaking dream to me, dude. If I can find something like that, I'd be set. So yeah, dude, man.
Just keep at it, man. As cliche as it sounds, so I just told this story to I can't remember who I was even talking to. This week's been a mess.
For everybody.
Every time, I mean, I collected comics the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even before I started putting pen to paper, you know, collected comics. And when I started, you know, you'd go to these conventions and I'm breaking into comics and breaking in and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so redundant. And I'm like, man, this advice is so cliche, because every damn panel you'd go to, they would say, you just got to write. You just got to write. The only way to become a writer is you just got to write. But I see what it is. You just got to do whatever the hell you want to do, man. You just got
to say it. You just got to write.
You just got to write, man. You just got to code. You just got to snip the lock out of your, I don't know. You know, it's just, you just do whatever. Let's reverse. I'm not advocating you to cut people's hair, but you know, just do whatever you want to do, you know?
Unless that's your career path, because that's still a career path.
Speaking of which, if that is your career path, let me know, because I need my haircut.
I've got a daughter who could do eyebrows, man. So
there we go. Do it, man. If you like it, just do it. That's the thing. You'll have to make sacrifices along the way. You're not going to get your first gig right out of the gate and writing and stuff. This shit shows my first published comic, but I was doing some short stuff ahead of time for starting to at least build somewhat of a portfolio, I guess, just to have, or just to get experience, you know, because even when shit show one was released and I read back through it in the print copy, I'm like, man, I would change so much stuff in this.
You can't do that though, man. You can't.
I know. Yeah, I can't. It's in my hands. I can't change the printed version now, but that's just what I'm saying. Cause even in the 2 years since I've actually written the script, cause shit show number one was written 2 full years ago now.
Yeah.
2 full years. It's, it just progresses so much, you know, like, man, I've learned so much
and you've progressed in that time, right?
So, man, just do it and just do something and, and go with it.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about how, you know, how you broke in. So what was it that, you know, got you to just write?
So, and that's, this comes back full circle to the imposter thing. Cause I feel it's weird to say I've broken into comics. You know, it just seems weird. I know I have a comic out and I understand that I have broken into comics, but it just feels weird to say, holy shit, I broke into comics and this is how you can do it. You know, I feel like that's like a Billy Mays here type infomercial or something. I had the idea, man. I love the show Shameless, and I love, obviously, with the job and everything, I love consuming media. I love watching movies, cinema, and programming on the television and all that stuff. You know, I'm like, man, I want to write the stories that I don't see, man. You know, you watch this show and you're like, well, it'd be fun if you tweak this and saw this and that, this and that, and this and that. And for the day job, I was interviewing someone one afternoon. Rob Paulson, a voice actor, he does Yakko, Animaniacs. He was one of the Turtles. Raph, I think he was on the original Turtles.
Okay.
Carl Weezer, for all the Jimmy Neutron fans out there, if you watch Jimmy Neutron. He's done hundreds of voices. So I'm talking to him, and when they're starting the Animaniacs reboot probably 4 years ago or something, and he got an invite to come back. And at around the same time, he was diagnosed with throat cancer, which is pretty detrimental for a voice actor, right?
Yeah.
And I'm interviewing him about this and stuff. And it was just a super inspirational chat because the stars aligned just so much that he was able to get through treatment and go into remission and get it all taken care of before the reboot actually started recording. It was just pure chance because they were going to start when he was diagnosed, and he was almost lined up to be the only person not returning because they brought back the whole voice cast. I think Jess Harnell. Yeah,
they brought everybody back.
Tress McNell. The whole voice cast. But the stars just lying. It was a super inspirational message, you know? I mean, here's a voice actor who got throat cancer and he made it work. You know, the stars aligned in his favor to allow him to do this. You know, I believe in fate, you know, it's a fate thing. It's not karma, but it's fate or whatnot. You know, he was destined to do that job because he was able to do it. And it just came out couple months ago. I was gonna say a couple weeks, but I don't know how weird time works now, you know. So anyways, I'm talking to him, it's super inspirational. I'm like, man, I'm not gonna take anything for granted. I don't know if I'm gonna be alive 2 years from now or 3 years from now. So I hopped off the phone, I outlined the whole shit show story that afternoon. I started breaking ground on a script and just hit the ground running, man. And that's kind of how I broke in. It's a submission, man. We submitted to Scout Comics. I didn't have like an advanced deal with Scout or anything. We pitched it to Scout based on the first six pages and the story and the scripts I had available. And they brought it on, and there is the break-in story.
Nice. And that feels like that's a lot of what creators say when we talk about, hey, how'd you guys start? How'd you get in this? And they say, you know, I just did it. There was this one moment where it was like an epiphany. I just need to get it done. I need to do it. I started doing it, and I just continued to do it, and I ran with it. And that feels like it's an ongoing thing, man. So that's super cool. So now that it's out there, it is in everybody's hands. You are feeling like you're an imposter because you're sitting back saying you broke in and all this stuff. That's awesome. But what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to talk about your creative process, how you actually sit down and write out those outlines and how you script and what inspires you and things of that nature. So let's take that break and then we'll come right back and talk about your inspiration. All right, and we're back with Adam Barnhart. And before the break, we told everybody that we were going to talk about your inspiration, man. So Let's talk a little bit about that. What inspires the famous Adam Barnhart?
What inspired? I'm inspired by everything, man. I mean, that conversation with Rob was what set me on this path. You know, I've always kind of had an creative and entrepreneurial spirit. So I just, I don't know. I like creative stuff. I mean, it depends on the story. You know, I pull from all sorts of inspirations, from creators I like, from stories I like, from characters I like. Mm-hmm. And that's it, you know, from Shit Show, there's all sorts of inspirations, you know, there's Shameless, there's The Boys, there's Frank Miller was a huge part of Jeff Lemire's work. Black Hammer, speaking of Jeff Lemire. All sorts of stuff that inspired me for that. And then another project I'm working on, it is nothing like Shit Show whatsoever. I'm hoping to pitch that here shortly. Nice. But I pulled inspiration from that. It's nothing like I ever imagined I would have wrote. It's a spookier thriller, almost like a psychological thriller type thing.
Nice.
That's totally not my MO. But this story just popped in the head, and I wrote, you know, I played with it, and I think we're onto something there. But yeah, man, you just kind of find inspiration wherever you can find it. You know, I'm not sure wherever it is. It's the same reason I sleep by a journal, you know, with a journal by my bed on the nightstand. You know, I always do, because I always wake up. Always in jot down. Yeah. It's like the Seinfeld episode where he jots a joke down and can't read it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the same thing. I'll just have a bunch of scribbles in my journal. I'm like, oh, I'm sure that was a really good idea. I wish I could read it. I don't know. That's kind of, that I realize that's totally not a non-answer, because I didn't tell you anything about how I get inspired. It just comes from everywhere, man.
That's good though, man. From
everywhere. And
that's,
yeah.
So, before you tackled this story here, have you ever written any scripts before or anything like that?
Yeah. So Shit Show actually started off as a pilot script for TV, because I wanted to get into screenwriting sometimes. So it's horrible and it's barely finished and it's not ready. But I mean, I initially wrote it as a pilot TV script, and it changed so much from there. And that's the difference between, you know, writing for screen and writing for comics. Yeah. With screen, you certainly have to think of budget in a much different sense than you think comics. You know, comics, I'm not sure if I'll get like an angry mob on me for this, but I mean, on comics, you still have to, at least creator owned, you still have to think of budgets in the terms of pages, right?
So,
I mean, at least with Shit Show, that's why I didn't want to write 5-6 issues, because making creator owned comics is expensive. And that's why I wanted to do shorter, more contained pods. I call it pods, volumes, whatever the hell you want to call it. And a 3 issues in structure, like a movie. So that's kind of the budgeting for comics, but film's a lot different, because you can, that budget for comics is the same no matter if it's a street level Daredevil story or if it's an event space, cosmic space opera with all sorts of special effects and stuff. Whereas you have to pay for those visual effects in film and television, right?
Yeah.
So I changed it. It was much more grounded when I envisioned it as the pilot. For television. And so I changed it and introduced a 30-foot tall 3-headed demon and all sorts of powers and things of that nature. So that's you know, how I actually started developing I totally forgot the question. Did you want to know like the process of it, or what was your question again? I totally went off
the thing. You're good, man. No, that was perfect. That was perfect. So when you were, you know, this definitely feels a lot like a TV show. Like when I read it, I was like, oh, this would be such a good TV, like a live action show. Mm-hmm. How good would this be? And now I want it, man. Now that you said that you started off writing as a script, I'm just like, I need it now. Like, so everybody out there from Scout, I know you guys listen because they do listen to this, to the show. I need this. So
I hope so, man. Yeah. Let's get, it's so ripe for multimedia. It's so ripe for film or television, man. And that's,
oh yeah, it feels like it.
That's probably my ego talking, but I mean, it's cool.
No, not at all.
Christ. Netflix just released a TV show. What's it called? This is the end of the effing world, but it's not effing. It's the F bomb word that I don't want to say as a guest on your podcast.
You're good, man.
You know, but yeah, man, let's talk. If Steven Spielberg is listening to this podcast, you know, hit me up, Steve.
Yeah, man. Let's something.
James Cameron, Chris Nolan. What? Who's gonna win an Oscar with my IP?
Let's do it, man. It definitely feels like it could be an amazing story for film. So let's get in a little bit deep, man. How does a Adam Barnhart start a script? Like, what do you do? I know you said you already, you grab a journal, you jot things down. So what does it look like when you're sitting down and busting a script out, man?
So this isn't full or anything, but I buy these journals in bulk, and I realize this is a podcast, so I don't know why I'm holding it up, but it's an A5 journal, and I buy them in bulk, and it has grid paper on the inside, no lines or anything.
Yeah.
It depends if I'm doing in universe thing for shit show or a new series. Mm-hmm. Either way, the first page, I enjoy character driven stories mm-hmm. more than plots and MacGuffins and things like that. So the very first page I'll do, no matter the idea, I'll list down the characters and defining traits and maybe references, you know, if I like this actor or this actress or this character from other stories or this character, you know, just to mm-hmm. get an idea in my mind who I want, how, not only how I want them to look or act or whatever, but, you know, traits and things like that. So once I get the character page done on the first page, you know, I'll start fleshing it out with a log line and stuff and a log line and a synopsis, just for the process. And then I'll write what I call a treatment. I kind of probably do it this reverse. I'll do a treatment. I'll write out the whole story beat for beat. Mm. You know, John Doe does A on planet X and so-and-so and so, and he kills so-and-so, or he throws so-and-so in jail, or he loses the so-and-so. So I just do beat for beat, full spoilers, everything. Obviously I'm writing the story, so it's just beat for beat.
Yeah.
And then I'll take that treatment, which is usually, I don't know, word count or stuff. And like the journal pages, it's usually two pages per issue. Kind of prosy, you know?
Okay.
And then it goes from the treatment, then I outline it. So how I outline is you do issues, then you do, depending on the pages, you do one page per line. Just page one, and describe it. Page one, legend punches so-and-so in the mouth, or it's probably more general than that even. Mm-hmm. Legend / Balam fight. And then page two and three, splash page of legend fighting bad guy or so-and-so. So I'll go through down and 1 through 22 and just write out the scenes or whatnot based on the treatment. And then from the outline, going page to page, then I do the scripts. I do the scripts and the dialogue separately in two separate documents. I mainly do the outline first. I know for a fact this is reversed because I've seen how some other people do it, Marvel writers, and I know I do it completely ass backwards. But I do pretty much beat for beat in the layouts and the panels and everything first. And I'll go back through and do a dialogue in a separate document. Obviously, if I'm thinking dialogue and stuff like that, it's either in the treatment or I write it as I write the panels and stuff like that. But for the most part, I get everything paneled out and stuff, then go back in and fill in the dialogue and stuff, which I type in a separate document to help out. And that's pretty much my writing process. You know, the dialogue and the captions and the actual words that show up Obviously, it's very integral to the whole thing. So it's kind of like when I'm writing, fleshing out the script, it's hand in hand, you know, one on each screen and doing this. You know, obviously you have to have the scene play out in your mind beforehand and what Legend's going to say or what Balaam's going to say and what have you. But that's the process. So yeah, it's ideas, just writing down ideas, hopefully legibly, so you can go back and read. My handwriting's the worst, but I just feel like I get more done if I write, because doing with the computer screens is I get distracted too easily. But yeah, I have dozens of these little journals floating about my abode, and it all starts there. I'm thinking about doing one like in a giveaway for a Kickstarter that I have coming up. But
that would be real cool. That would really be really cool, actually. I would love to open up a book and see inside the mind of Adam Barnhart and his process.
It changes so much. You ask, I was watching it. I can't remember. It was a Scout creator. I can't remember if you were interviewing him or what, but they were very dedicated to sticking to an outline. And my if you look through the journals, it's insane, because I write the treatment, then I write the outline, and it changes between those two steps. Maybe I tweak a scene or actions or something. And then between the outline and the script, it changes a little more. So I'm editing myself. But yeah, it's just a growing evolution. I'm not super, super stuck on my outlines, I guess. And then there's revisions and stuff. There's the story I have in line for Shit Show 2, I went through 4 different drafts. So it's just kind of, and they're all completely different. So we'll have to see which one actually shows up, man.
Awesome.
I don't know yet.
That's awesome though, man. All right, man. Let's gear down here a little bit. So you said you're working on some more stuff. Are you able to, you know, give us a little hint on what you're working on here?
Let's see if I can. I can't do a visual. I could do it for your Patreon supporters. No, so the second project, I'm going to pitch it to publishers by the end of the month. It's, as I've said, I grew up and moved back to small town Iowa. So it's kind of my homage to just little bitty rural towns where you do something and someone knows within 30 seconds. You know, if I ever got in trouble in high school, my mom would find out before I had the chance to tell her, you know, that type of stuff. I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah. I lived in a small town just like that. Like if I was riding my bike around or hanging out with my friends on my skateboard, my mom knew where I was before I got home.
Exactly. And she asked, what were you doing walking on this road? I'm like, how the hell did you know? I was walking on 8th Street. Like, what the hell?
Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. No, so it's kind of my nod to that, and it adds some stuff to that. It's I intertwine some like mythology. And intertwine some horror a little bit, and it's just kind of spooky and unsettling and disturbing, interdimensional type stuff as well.
It sounds very similar to something that I have in my head, where I wanted to write a story about my background, where I lived and grew up in a small little town very similar to that. And it has a horror element. It has a spooky kind of, not interdimensional, but it's kind of like that. It's very supernatural.
That's the thing. I realize now that after I explained it, it sounds like Stranger Things, but it's not. It's not really it has to do with time. Time's the main component here. It's supernatural, but there's the explanation is time, and that's not a spoiler, because that much is evident from page 2, I think it is.
It sounds good already, man.
So we'll see. So that's I'm pitching that, and you know, man, the Shit Show world's ever expanding. They always say start small with comics, start with anthologies and start with short stories and anthologies, but I can't start small, man. If you're going to tell some, just do it. So I'm trying to do this universe that I have so many scripts written. I've probably gotten 25 scripts now by various shit show stories and ideas. The main shit show story I want to tell clocks in at like 16 scripts or 16 issues.
Okay.
Which is kind of like the complete thing and spinoffs and other stuff. There's this super awesome, dope ass space story I want to tell I'll be pitching that hopefully shortly too. Well, we'll see, man. The issues 2 and 3 of Shitshow Volume 1 come out March and April.
Awesome. Because
of Scouts.
Gap
or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to call it delay. But the gap. Then May 1st, I am launching a Shitshow adjacent Kickstarter.
I'm not sure
if we've even talked about that.
No, we haven't, man. Tell us a little bit. We still got about 5-10 minutes. Let's talk about that.
No, it's just it's a little anthology type stuff that I've been sitting on. So what I originally intended to do, as you guys, if you've read Shitshow 1, there's the Killer Bears short story in there. So what I intended to do was to follow up each main volume with a short story that expanded the world.
Okay.
Then I got to thinking and I just kept doing these short stories and it's kind of like tests. You know, you get artists on board and you can write this short story and you're only invested in 4 pages with this creative team and stuff. See how you work with the artists and if they'd make better on a longer story or something like that. So instead of doing each issue, we did issue 1 with Killer Bears, who will return in the space story, mind you. I decided to just compile those because I had 1 for 2 and 3 already all done. And then I had like 4 laying around as well. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just do this anthology type thing. So that's coming for me. It's pretty much virtually done at the moment. But we just have to wait until Shitshow 3 comes out. But that is
that's
kind of what I have planned for May. I don't know what the rest of 2021 looks like at the moment, man. We'll see. I have this one short story that's moving, not short story, but the small town story I discussed earlier. Maybe that's a 2021 one. We will see. That's everything's in the work, man. You have to have something in the works at all times. So we will see how it goes.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. You'll have to tell me when that's kicking off and we'll definitely talk a little bit more about that and all that good stuff. We'll push it out, man. All right, dude. You know what? It's been a whole lot of fun hanging out with you. We could talk for days, man, because this is we got so much to talk about. But yeah, man, if you guys haven't read Shitshow, you guys got to get out there and read it because it and pick it up. You guys can head over to scoutcomics.com. You can probably still grab your copy and check it out. I got to tell you, this first issue is so strong and it is a very entertaining. You guys will sit here and read it and be like, I need this as a TV show because that's what I did the very first time I read it. Dude, I need more. Bring it. Bring the whole universe, man. I'm ready for it.
Listen, just for you, I will bring everything. Just for you, I will bring every Shitshow story to light.
Do it, man. All right, dude. Let everybody know where they can find you, find your books, and all that good stuff.
I am on Instagram and Twitter at Adam Barnhart. Or you can find the Shitshow page I post frequently on Facebook. Shitshow Comic. It's facebook.com/shitshowcomic.
Sweet. All right, man. Thanks for hanging out with me, Adam. It was a pleasure. It's always been really cool to hang out with you, dude. I just wish that we lived a whole lot closer so we can actually hang out in person. Definitely masked up though.
Right.
And socially distanced, but it would be a whole lot of fun to chill with you, dude. thanks for hanging out with me again for like the third or fourth time. It's been really cool.
Thanks for putting up with me, man.
It's all good. No, dude, we've been trying to get this episode down in the books for so long that it feels like it's been too far gone. But anyway, man, thanks for hanging out. Thank you guys for listening to the House of Indie right here on the Geek Collective. Next time on the House of Indie, we're going to be talking to Chris Sheehan. He is the artist on Autumnal, and he does all kinds of amazing work. So stay tuned for that one. And guess what? Next week is going to be my 1-year anniversary for the House of Indie. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I began this show January 24th in 2020, and this year has been awesome and amazing. I've met all kinds of great creators, and I am thankful for everybody who has been on the show and continues to be on the show in the future, just like you, Adam. Thank you, guys. You guys have been amazing. So make sure you guys do that. Head on over to houseofindiepod.com and listen to all the episodes right there in one place. And remember, if you head on over to scoutcomics.com, we have a really cool thing going on. If you head over, grab their subscription box or whatever you want, just remember to put in the code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, at checkout, and you'll get 10% off. We will see you guys next time. Take it easy. Thank you for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez. I will see you later. Can you say The House of Indie?
At The House of Indie.